On last week, Pastor Seawright painted a picture of a church so full of love that it didn't have room for mess. This week, he continues with part 10 of his series on bodywork with the second half of his sermon called Only Room for Love by looking at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 6 through 7. Here, the Apostle Paul reminds us that love is the ultimate test of our spirituality. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
It's time for the Word. If you have your Bibles, tablets, I ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 6 through 7. 1 Corinthians, 13th chapter, verses 6 through 7. And I just want to pause for a moment just to say a few announcements or just cover a few things. One is, I didn't say this last week, but I want to make sure that I say it this week. Had a trip to Tennessee a couple weeks ago, and they asked me to come down there to speak, and I spoke at the church's 101st, I believe, anniversary of the church in Louisville, Kentucky. And I just wanted to just publicly thank the McElwees. Sister McElwee and Elder McElwee made that trip along with Elder Williamson to support me. And I just want to pause and say thank you. I really appreciated that. And it's interesting to see the two brothers that are so significant to my walk in Christ, that they're still supporting. And they're still there to see these significant moments in my life. Amen. In addition to that, I know it was stated, but I want to state it once again, that Mother Scruggs' funeral is here. We'll be here this coming Saturday. Family hour is at 12:30, and the funeral itself is at 1 o'clock. I just want to say to the church that we owe a debt of love. We owe a debt of love. And I pray that that is a smooth ceremony or funeral, rather, and that our love will come forth clearly. Amen. The other thing I want to state before I get into the message is Tuesday night service and Sunday school. I haven't said this for a couple of weeks, but please come out to Sunday school. And please come out to Tuesday night service. I believe that Elder Watkins is a lead teacher on a subject that has to do with apologetics. So please, please come out and support those two services. I thought that I would be able to join you all this Tuesday, but then all of a sudden, I got a call from that second job saying, please come and rescue us, and please, just one more week. So I put in one more week. If they ask me this week, I'm going to say, ain't. Amen. Because I want to be at Tuesday night. Amen. So, let's get started. 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, verses 6 through 7. And still talking about love. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The body has this thing called the circulatory system. The circulatory system that circulates blood and lymphs through the body. And the circulatory system consists of the heart, blood vessels, blood, lymphs, and the lymphatic vessels and glands. Sound educated, don't I? Amen. Hypovolemic shock occurs when there is a significant amount of blood loss. The heart can't pump the blood to the organs that need it, to the parts of the body that need it. And as a result, some of the body tissue just dies. A writer stated that love is the church's circulatory system. Love is its circulatory system. Just think about it. No love, then all of a sudden you're in a situation where not only are you in volemic shock, but you could be flatlined and dead. So in this passage of scripture, Paul continues to discuss the issue of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. And he tells us that without love, which is that greatest gift, all other gifts are nothing. They're nothing. Church members at Corinth and the church members of today, they've lost focus. And they now believe that gifts equal spirituality. That gifts equal spirituality. See, I read this week that that's not the case. Spirituality is completely unrelated to gifts. Unrelated to gifts. Just because you have a gift, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are a mature Christian. Just because you have gifts, that doesn't mean that you are super spiritual. That's why you can come on Sunday morning and you hear a whole bunch of people speaking in tongues, and then all of a sudden they leave the place and they're speaking in other tongues. That's why you can come on Sunday morning and somebody can sing like an angel, and they come and they are doing other things. Because spirituality is completely unrelated to gifts. God gives gifts to help this church. But it's funny because the same thing that was going on in Corinth goes on in churches today, where they've mixed up the two. And they think if they have a showy enough gift, then people will really think that they are super duper duper spiritual. Yeah. See, the truth is that love is the true test of spirituality. How much do you love? How much do you love? Last week we covered jealousy, bragging, pride, rudeness, selfishness, quick-tempered. They all miss the mark of love. They all miss the mark of love. Again, it's not about gifts, because the Corinthians, they had gifts. That church was full of gifts. But it wasn't full of love. It wasn't full of love. Everyone sought after the showy gifts. And it's interesting because they had one gift in mind. They had one gift in particular that they wanted. And that gift was tongues. Everybody wanted to speak in tongues. But you know, I read this week, and it's kind of interesting. If everyone has an iPhone or smartphone, more than likely you run across the noise apps, right? You know, if you want to read and folks are around you and they're making too much noise, you just turn on brown noise and turn on the ocean if you want to sleep and things of that nature. Well, I read the definition this week of white noise. White noise basically is every pitch at once coming your way so that no particular pitch is heard from another. See, one thing that makes music pleasant to hear and easy to understand is that you only hear certain pitches at a time, and it makes music pleasant to listen to. But white noise is like everything coming at you at one time, all at once. And just think, if a church is full of the same gift, and that's coming at you all at once, it ain't nothing but noise. Nothing but noise. A church full of just singers and everybody's singing. When it's time to do the offering, everybody's busy singing. When it's time to preach, everybody's still singing. When it's time to play the instruments, no, everybody is still singing. See, we need variety. And God is a God of variety. Amen? That's why we need to be more spiritual, saints. Spiritual. Spiritual is connected to maturity. Baby Christians don't think this way. Baby Christians say, I want that gift that everybody else wants, instead of what God has for me. There should only be room for love, saints. Because through love, our gifts are manifested and they do what they are supposed to do. See, if we are full of Christ and full of Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and we are full of the Father, there's room for nothing else. There's room for nothing else. So this week, Paul continues to describe and paint this portrait of love. And he starts in the sixth chapter by the sixth verse, saying, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. This is an interesting one because rejoice means simply glad. Glad. Unrighteousness or iniquity, this is what it means. It means what ought not to be. What ought not to be. And another author goes on to say, it's when you do someone else wrong. When you do injury to someone else. See, the idea is that love, that agape love that God gives us, is not happy when it sees something wrong going on. And it's not happy when wrong happens to someone else. To someone else. Paul was pointing back to the fifth chapter. Because if you read the fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians, folks were suing each other. They were taking each other to court. They were easily offended with one another. Amen? The fifth chapter in particular was talking about a situation of incest. Incest. Incest where it was a situation where the son of the man was actually having relations with his stepmother. But that wasn't the worst part. The worst part is that this church was okay with it. They were okay with it. And Paul had to come to them strong, saying, love does not rejoice. Love does not put the stamp on something that is wrong. Love does not celebrate something that is wrong. Saints, here is where we pause, because I don't want us to get into our judgmental mode. Here is where we get into a praise break and thank God that with Christ, we don't have to fail. Amen? We don't have to fail. I know that some of y'all are like, but hold up. But hold up. If it wasn't for God, we would fail as well. The truth be told, there is a part of people that rejoice in mess. Let's be true. You know, part of us just, that's why the magazines at the, when you're in a checkout aisle, that's why they sell. The inquiring minds want to, hey, we want to know. We want to know why he left her for her. We want to know. It's a part of us that we like that mess. We cool with that mess. And here's another part of that's even deeper. If that mess benefits us, we're tempted to like it even more. Oh, yeah, come on. If that mess benefits us, we run into the temptation to like it even more. I should have had that position. But he got it. Oh, wait a minute. He did something? Hey, my position. My position. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? And of course we run into it as well. Like when Lenny from Good Times come your way with a $5,000 Rolex for $30. Hey, my brother. See, you up there thinking about, wait a minute, $5,000, $30. That's a good deal. But he stole it from somebody that's crying about it. You see what I'm saying? I hope y'all do. But the first chapter of Romans, verse 32 says, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Man has gotten to the point where not only do they do mess, but they put the stamp of approval on others that do it too. Love has no room for that. Love does not rejoice in such things. See, without Christ and without that love that the Holy Spirit places in us, it is possible to encourage behavior from others that are against God and that ends in consequence or judgment to them. But through Christ, we want God to be glorified. We don't want him to be offended. We want him to be glorified. And we want folks to serve him and not be against him. Because the truth is, if you are against him, there is a judgment day. Also through Christ, We can all declare that we don't need to stand on other folks' hurt. We don't need to stand on other folks' neglect. We don't need to stand on other folks' failures. We don't need to stand on folks that are defeated and beat down by life. God can give us what he has for us without others suffering. We don't build on the suffering of others, saints. We don't rejoice when bad times come on other folks. Rather, we rejoice in truth. We rejoice in truth. Truth is defined as that unveiled reality that agrees with what appears. Now, let me break that down. I can say all day long that this stand here is a car. It would be fake news. I can say all day long that this is a car. But what is confessed or professed ought to line up with what you see and what's reality. That's a stand. I don't care how many times I say that's a car. And truth lines up with what you see. What you see. That's what it's saying truth is. Truth also is opposed to falsehood. It's the opposite of falsehood and error. It's also opposed to shadows, ideas, so to speak. Folks can have an ideal in their head, but if it's not consistent to what's going on, then hey, it's not true. It's not true. John 1 and 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Truth came down, y'all. He came down and he dwelt among us. If you're asking what is truth, truth is God. Not only is he truth, but he sets the standard for truth. So you can go around and live in your own truth if you want to. But if it doesn't line up to what he says, it's not true. It's not true. And we stand firmly on this truth, that he is truth and he sets the standard for truth. And if you really love someone, guess what you're going to tell them? The truth. You're going to tell them the truth. You're going to express to them the truth, but you're going to express it in love. Man, why come someone's way with a biblical machete? Just chopping their heads off where they don't want no part of you or the gods you serve. You have to do it in love, with love. Agape love is not giving a person what they want. It's not giving a person what they want. Agape love is not giving a person what they think they need. No, rather, it sees the need. It sees the need. And it meets the need. See, God could have come down and you were in a frame of mind where you said, "Lord, I need a Range Rover. That's what I need." But he said, "No, you need Jesus. And I'm going to give you Jesus." You see, It's not giving a person what they think they need, but it's seeing the need and meeting the need. Meeting the need. See, with Christ, we can choose right from wrong and good from evil and be happy about it. And be happy about it. We rejoice in the truth, saints. Love rejoices in the truth. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. To break it down to the even where the kids can understand it. See, one thing when I was in school that drew a crowd was when we were playing the dozens. Man, yo mama. Man, that drew a crowd. that drew a crowd, man. And we were on display. Yo mama. Matter of fact, we couldn't get to your mama yet because your mama, after your mama, we fought. So we couldn't go to your mama first. So we had to say, your head, your lips, your nose. 30 dozen them up, man. And guess what would come? A crowd. Ooh, your head. Ooh, your lips, though. See, we're Christians. See, kids, we're not part of that crowd. We're not up there saying, ooh. We're not part of that. We don't rejoice in iniquity. We don't rejoice in wrong things happening to people. So the next time when you hear, your head, though, we don't want to run to support that. We want to go to class, right? Even though you think it's funny, we still want to go to class and not support it. He goes on and says, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, at a casual glance of this verse, you would think that a really good Christian is a victim. You would think that a really good Christian should be easily victimized by con men and crooks and con artists and get rich schemes, and even go on to a personal level where you would think that a really good Christian could be cheated on, and they just sit there and not bears all things, right? Believes all things, right? But users come your way, bear all things, believe all things, hope all, and you put a TH on it so you can be more spiritual. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. God doesn't want you to be victimized. He doesn't want you to be victimized. He didn't set you up to be a victim. So we have to understand what he is saying here, right? When he says bear all things, it means to cover. When you look at this word, it means to cover. Now, when someone has failed, you're not excusing or trying to justify the wrong or the sin that they've done. In that sense, covering. You're not doing that. But instead, you are not going around publishing someone's wrong, someone's sin. So we're talking about cover in that sense. You are protecting them, handling things in a way where the only ones that need to know are the only ones that need to know. So with God's help, I told y'all, we sometimes, you know, this urge in us to get messed going, you know, and we like that messy, but with God's help and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can resist that urge to tell that juicy news. But what you don't know, girl, I know you heard, but what you don't know, inquiring minds want to know. We can resist that with the Holy Spirit. See, and you are hurt when it is exposed. That's what love does. You're hurt when it is exposed. Because you were just simply, you're trying to keep it to the ones that need to know are the ones that need to know so that this brother and this sister can go on about it. But it's not, that's what makes gossip so good. Ooh, gossip is so good. Because something in us just want to, ooh, we got the tea, y'all. Is that the tea? Is it the, yeah, we got the tea. Ooh. The tea, we got the coffee, the milk. We got it all on somebody. And we want to, ooh, we got to tell it all. Starbucks. 1 Peter 4 and 8 says this, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. When a brother or a sister fails, we want to cover in a sense of lifting them up so they can get back on track the easiest way that they can. Amen? The easiest way that they can. I like what John MacArthur says. He says, love never protects the sin, but it is anxious to protect the sinner. You hear that? Love never protects the sin, but it is anxious to protect the sinner. Then he goes on and says, love believes all things. Like I said, we're not easily victimized, you know, and someone come our way and we just believe all things. I'm sorry, we believeth all things. Just because someone comes our way with it, we believeth. No. Because even Proverbs 14 and 5 says this, the naive believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. Meaning that we think about it and say, oh, no, that don't, no. 2 + 2 = 7. No. Something's wrong here. We judge, we discern these things. Saints, when all the evidence is presented, when all the evidence is presented and it shows that a brother or a sister did do wrong, this is what love does. Love reluctantly accepts it. In other words, love says, duh. I was hoping, but duh. Love doesn't do this. Yeah. That's what I expected. Yeah. They did what? Oh, yeah, you could see that coming. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, just by the way they look. You saw that coming. What they do? Oh, I could have told you that. You know, you see what I'm saying? Love doesn't, you know, get on that bandwagon so quick to where it just jumps on them so quick that you're so acceptance of the negative stuff where you don't pause for a moment. Amen? Pause for a moment. Love doesn't like just throw in the towel on a person so quick, right? Love doesn't say, yeah, that's what you should have expected from them, right? But in a second sense, or even in a deeper sense, love gives the benefit of the doubt. You're innocent till proven guilty. You know, this week I was watching the morning show on Channel 4, Today, I believe, and they made that announcement about Matt Lauer. Now, I'm consistently watching that show, you know, as I prepare for work and just going in and out on it. But his co-anchors had to make that announcement. And I don't know her name, but she was fighting back the tears. It hurt her so much to speak this truth about the man. And she did not want to say it, but she knew that she had to say it. But I was watching the dynamics of what she was doing. It wasn't that she was so happy to say this about that no good man. You see what I'm saying? Or it wasn't about that, yeah, you know, we could have expected that of him. But because she had a love for him, it hurt. She says she was hurting for him, and she was hurting for the victim. She says she was hurting for both of them. Now, that's on the news, on TV. Now, can that be the same in the church? Can it be the same in the church? Do we trust one another? Do we trust one another? And if something did occur that doesn't seem just right, do we build up the case to make the folks in the church more monsters? You know, all of a sudden they become more monsters rather than a sister or a brother? Huh? Or are we in the business of making monsters? Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Because love also hopes. It hopes. And we never lose hope. We hope all things. Love continues to hope for that lost loved one. It hopes for the salvation of that lost loved one, for that spouse that may be out there. It hopes. It doesn't give up hope on folks. Love says, I see the reality. I see the reality of the situation, and I understand that they are living a life without Christ. I get it. But as long as they are living, they have an opportunity to get it right with him. So I will continue to hold on to my hope. I will continue to hold on to hope and praying that they get it right with him. That's what hope does. See, after love bears, it believes. And after love believes, it hopes. And after it hopes, it endures. That means that it ties a knot at the end of the rope. And it just keeps holding on. And it holds on until that change comes. I'm quite sure that there were some folks in your past that said, that joker ain't gonna make it. No. That joke is no good. He's no good. He's no good. Baby, he's no good. I'm quite sure that they came to that conclusion. But if they were to see you now and see what God has done for you, they would change their whole bottom line about you. And they would say, there is a God. There is a God. That's the same thing. As you endure, that's the same thing that you need to see in folks as well. Church, we need this kind of love all among us. We need this type of love that does not rejoice in iniquity, that doesn't rejoice in bad things that happens to people, that it in fact rejoices in truth. It bears all things, meaning it covers a brother or sister. It doesn't spread it out there that they're doing this, that, and the other, but it covers. It believes all things, meaning that it gives the benefit of the doubt to a brother or sister. You know, if I do something and it's not consistent to who you know that I am, you know that I'm not about that. And then all of a sudden, if it's inconsistent to what you know, why be so quick to believe that I did it? And if I did do it, why believe that I did it with that motive, that intent? See, when people do you wrong, not only do you focus on the wrong, but you put a whole movie to it. You put a whole movie. Yeah, he did me this way. And let me tell you why. See, because I'm in his mind and I'm in his heart. This is why he did it. This was his motive. Right? This was his intent. This is why he did it. Well, how do you know? Yeah, because I'm in his mind. I know these type of people. See, but the Bible says we can't judge motives. We can't judge motives. We can't judge motives. So I got to give the benefit of the doubt to somebody that I love. And then it hopes all things. See, because if you find someone that did do something wrong, you have the hope that is within you that they can get it right. You're hoping that they can get it right. And then ultimately, because there is nothing else past endure, you will hold on till that change comes. And if that change never comes, you will at least hold on until God comes. Until God comes. Church, can we exhibit that type of love? Can folks see that type of love among us? Can you, somebody came to me and said, you know, one person practices a, and this is in closing, one person practice keeping their list really short as to offenses. And how they do that is they bank on the fact that I love you and you love me. And when this thing comes between us, we can talk about it before the list grows. Because if we don't talk about it, then all of a sudden the list gets like this. And then by the time we do step to each other, man, we got so much of this going on that we have to check off stuff that, you know, and we have to check off this long list. But with love, we keep the list of offenses as low as we can. So as soon as you see me and I've done something wrong, you think you should be able to come to me and say, I saw this and I see that, but you know, and then I can say, get out of my face. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. See, that's not love. That's not love. Right? I should be able to say, come let us reason together. Right? Can we love like that at this church? I pray that we can. Let us stand. Let us stand. Can you give me the benefit of the doubt? Can you cover me? Because I'm not perfect. Can you cover me? Not make excuses for my sins. Not try to make my wrong look right. But I'm saying, can you cover me in the sense of just being mature about it and nurturing me back on track? Can you have hope for me when I do fail? Or if I do fail, then you can hope for the best, that I can get back on track and do this thing the right way. And then can you hang on with me? Can you endure with me? In other words, can you love me? Can you love me? And here's a step further. Can you love me when I don't seem lovable? Can you love me when you don't think I'm lovable? God did it for us, saints. And we should be able to do it for one another. And if this love is strange or foreign to you, because this is a love that you can't muster up on your own, this is a divine love. This is a love that is given to you. This is agape love. This is a love that you have with Christ. With Christ in your life. See, the bottom line of this sermon is that we need Christ. We need Christ to have a love like this. This is not a love that you can go out there and find on your own. This tells us that we need him more than ever. And if you don't know him, here is an opportunity to get that love relationship going with him. I say, come. Come. Don't waste any more time. Don't go out there chasing illusions and shadows and ideas that you may think that equal love. Come to love. God is love, the Bible says. Is there one? And maybe there's one that knows him as Savior, but they've had a hurdle. They had a hurdle. That hurdle may be a situation. That hurdle may even be a person. And they struggle with a person. And you just want the Lord to touch you, to reset that button so that you can get back on track. Here's an opportunity now as well to come and get it right today. I say come. Amen. 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 As I said, hope says, as long as I can breathe, I can get it right. I can get it right. I can get it right. And lastly, there may be those that have visited us on occasion and said, you know what? I like what's going on here. I would like to join. Then I say to you, please come. The more the merrier. Come and serve an awesome God here in New Life. Is there one?
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.